This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Yesterday, we were all worried about Fernando Tatis Jr. after watching him fall into a heap in front of home plate during the Padres game on Monday. Well, on Tuesday, General Manager A.J. Preller said that Tatis Jr. will not need surgery after the latest injury to his troublesome left shoulder. He has been placed on the 10-day injured list. Preller said Tuesday the further exam showed a slight labrum tear consistent with a subluxation. He said the injury is non-surgical. The Padres hope Tatis can return as quickly as 10 days. Preller said the shortstop has full range of motion and that he wanted to be in the lineup on Tuesday. Look, I'm going to be talking about this with David Schoenfield coming up. But Taylor, when you saw this, the quotes from A.J. Preller, what was your instinct based on what we saw the night before?
I don't know. Seems questionable. 10 days seems a little light. Color me skeptical at the moment.
I've got a mantra about this sort of situation, and I'm going to talk about that when we talk to Dave. The Washington Nationals had to settle their roster as they prepared to play their first game of the season. Their season delayed, of course, by all of the COVID issues they had last week. 10 players went on the injured list, only one with a specific injury listed. Will Harris went on the injured list with right hand inflammation. The other 9 players with non-specific reasons for going on the injured list that included Patrick Corbin, John Lester, Kyle Schwarber, Josh Bell, Josh Harrison, and both catchers. So for the Washington Nationals, they are definitely starting this season shorthanded. The Tampa Bay Rays center fielder Kevin Kiermaier was placed on the 10-day IL with a left quad strain. This was bad news for the Seattle Mariners. James Paxton left his first start for Seattle with left elbow discomfort. Dodgers star outfielder Cody Bellinger day-to-day after tests showed that his injured left calf showed no structural damage or fractures. This is what Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, said after the Dodgers 5-1 win over Oakland last night. Bellinger was unavailable on Tuesday. He's also going to miss Wednesday's game, and it's still possible he's going to wind up on the injured list. The Yankees traded for Rougned Odor, really interesting deal, with the Texas Rangers picking up just about all of the $27 million owed to the second baseman. We're going to be talking with Paul Imbakides and with Dave about that deal. The Braves got shortstop Orlando Arcia in a deal with the Brewers as they try to build their depth. Let's get to the good stuff. Bo Bichette had a really nice day for the Blue Jays.
Tanner Roark would take it. As now Bichette swings, lifts a high fly ball, left field, deep and gone. 4 or 5 rows deep into the seats in left. First home run of the season for Bichette.
That was our friend Dan Schulman. Bo Bichette hitting a couple of home runs. How about Nate Lowe of the Texas Rangers?
And that one in the air, center field. That's going to be trouble. Back to the wall. Go! Lowe sneaks it out.
Yeah, that game was filled with home runs. The Nationals and the Braves. Ronald Acuña Jr. had himself a day.
Scherzer is ready, goes into his windup, and now for the ball game. And the first pitch swung on and lifted high in the air, out towards left field, back to the wall. This one is out of here. Ronald Acuña hits a home run on the first pitch that he sees from Max Scherzer, lifted high into the heavens, and it's 1-0 Braves.
That from 680, the fan, it was the first of 2 homers hit by Ronald Acuña Jr. Dansby Swanson hit a home run. Freddie Freeman hit a home run. The Braves had a lead. But you know what? The Nationals tied the score in the bottom of the eighth. Here's what happened in the bottom of the ninth.
Smith, the lefty, sets. Runners lead first and second. The pitch. Swing it away, driving to center field, a base hit. Robles to third. It gets by Pache to the wall. Robles coming in to score. And an opening day. Carly W. is in the books.
Charlie Slows in the Nationals radio network. We talked all spring about whether or not Juan Soto might be the MVP of the National League. He's off to a really great start. Astros and Angels were 2-2 top of the ninth inning. Carlos Correa at the plate.
Waiting for a two-strike pitch. Here it comes. And Correa lines this one out to right center field. And that ball is gone! Just over the yellow line. A go-ahead two-run home run for Correa. And the Astros are on top 4-2.
Robert Ford, KBME, 790 AM. The Astros win the game 4-2. And there is a legend developing in Detroit.
Swinging a line drive. Base hit into right. Badu! Line drive single. Castro scores. And Badu in game three delivers the walk-off.
Dan Dickerson, 97.1 The Ticket. We're going to be talking about the growing legend of Badu in Detroit when we speak with Dave Schoenfield. Before all that, baseball's back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with more than 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/baseball, and the fantasy baseball season is underway. That means fantasy-focused baseball with Eric and Tristan, and that's a must-listen for all fantasy baseball managers. Follow fantasy-focused baseball wherever you listen to podcasts.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN. And David, I think a lot of yesterday was built around waiting for the San Diego Padres to tell us with smoke signals what exactly the condition was of Fernando Tatis Jr., yes?
Yeah, I was ready for a worst case scenario, was getting an article, you know, written up on what happens if he's out for 3 months or something like that. You know, so yeah, he landed on the IL, but 10 days, and it sounds like, you know, he'll be back at the end of that stint. So a big sigh of relief for the Padres, for Tatis, and for baseball fans everywhere.
I will tell you, you know, when I saw what A.J. Preller told reporters, and I didn't listen to his Zoom call or wasn't in on it, but I saw as he was talking, reporters were putting out his words on social media. And as I read it, it reminded me of my old mantra of covering a team, that the team is not obligated to tell us exactly what the injuries are and to give us every bit of details about player injuries. And we in the media and his fans are also not obligated to believe what they tell us. Because when I saw that, it was interesting. My initial thing was like, yeah, no. And then I got text messages from folks with other teams saying, yeah, no, that we don't know the whole story yet.
So I should take back what I just said. Keep that column in the back pocket. Yeah, well, let's hope not, you know. But yeah, it certainly, when I was watching that game when it happened, it looked terrible. And even yesterday, they did admit what partial labrum tear, which, you know, obviously.
Yeah, subluxation. And I'm going to bring up for you a name that probably brings PTSD, and that's the name of Richie Sexson. You remember for years and years he had the shoulder problems, and it's potentially a persistent thing. And that's what I was hearing from folks with teams who don't have access to the information for Fernando Tatis Jr., but their initial things were like, oh boy, that's one of those things that you hope doesn't linger for a long time.
No, and even though it's his non-throwing shoulder, you know, it's from earlier reports, even from his, you know, issues in spring training, this left shoulder has bothered him apparently throughout his career. So it's been a lingering issue. Again, we can only hope for the best. But, you know, unfortunately, my mind, it went to a dark place with somebody like Troy Tulowitzki, who, you know, for a time there right before Mike Trout was arguably the best player in the game and couldn't stay healthy, you know. So I hate to bring up a name like that, because we don't want to jump to any conclusions here, but it is worrisome.
Yeah, and let's hope that, you know, what the Padres said yesterday is absolutely all the information and with complete clarity, and that he's okay and he comes back and we never have to talk about his shoulder injuries again. I will tell you again that folks with other teams saw what was said and put red flags on it, and they wonder, you know, how he's going to be moving forward. Okay, one guy that has been amazing early in this season, Nate Lowe, the Texas Rangers. Tell me what you're seeing in him.
Yeah, two home runs last night, what, 14 RBIs in five games, which I guess is the second most through five games in MLB history. Yeah, he was a guy, you know, I was a little surprised the Rays gave up on him or traded him in the offseason. They did get a couple interesting low-level prospects in that deal. You know, Tampa doesn't exactly have an all-star at first base. You know, coming up for the minors, good hitter, good on base, you know, kind of projected as a 20-25 home run guy. So exactly the kind of guy that just needed a chance to play. Never quite got that in Tampa Bay. Rangers have an opening. I think he can hit. I think he's a 275 hitter, 25 homers, 350 on base, you know, not an all-star first baseman, but, you know, an average level first baseman.
And you love the fact that a lot of the damage he's doing seems to be through the middle of the field, you know, to center field, to left center field, like one of his home runs last night. Because that's always a good sign, as we've been talking about all spring with Pete Alonso of the Mets doing a similar thing. Akil Baddoo, another big hit. What a great story. A Rule 5 pick. What do you think?
Yeah, as my friend Brad Doolittle, our colleague, texted me, you know, he's already a legend in Detroit, right? Home run on his first pitch in the majors that he ever saw. Grand slam in a second game, and then the walk-off single last night. So three games he's done that. I saw an interview with him the other day. Really engaging personality. You know, he had Tommy John surgery in the minors, so he's barely played since 2018. He's jumping from Class A, but he was a decent prospect. He has some tools, so hopefully the Tigers kind of, you know, they got him in the Rule 5 draft. Hopefully they kind of lucked into a good player here.
Yeah, former second round pick, and Kylie McDaniel knows this stuff better than I do. But I really wonder if he's one of those guys who is getting this opportunity effectively because there was no minor league baseball last year.
Yeah.
If he had been on a field, you know, having recovered to some degree from the Tommy John surgery and been able to show his skills more, maybe the Twins would have been like, you know what, this guy's somebody that we're going to keep and we're going to build on.
Right. And they have they had to make that decision. Do we put him on the 40-man roster? But Minnesota, they have a lot of outfielders on that team. So they had to make that choice. They thought they could slip him through that draft since he hadn't played. But the Tigers, the perfect team, right? What do they have to lose? Roll the dice, take a chance on him. He had a monster spring training, hit his way onto the team, and, could be a very exciting player.
What do you think about the Yankees acquiring Rougned Odor?
Well, let me say this, Buster. Hopefully this Taylor won't edit this, but Odor is kind of my least favorite player in the majors. To me, he's a symbol of everything that's wrong with the modern game. Home run or nothing. This guy has some talent as a hitter. We saw that early in his career, but hit 205 in 2019, 167 last year. Yeah, he has power. 279 on base since 2017. So it's all or nothing. He's not a great defensive player. No plate discipline. Yeah, he hits the ball over the fence once in a while. I don't see a lot of value there. Maybe the Yankees think they can teach him a little plate discipline.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if they have something in mind as he joins the team. And let's face it, you know, the prospects that they gave up, I think one of them was ranked 18th in the Yankees organization by Kiley, and somebody else was lower. And the Rangers are picking up every nickel possible in that deal. The Yankees have to pay him a prorated minimum salary for this year, $27 million picked up by the Rangers. So I think in some respects for the Yankees, he's a lottery ticket. You know, this is a team that's had real balance issues with their lineup, a lot of right-handed hitters. He's got left-handed power in Yankee Stadium. So, you know, we'll see if this is a long-term thing or if they're just going to see what they see. And if he doesn't hit, maybe they'll make a decision. Yesterday, the Boston Red Sox unveiled jerseys for Patriots Day. Pretty unusual colors. In fact, I won't even try to describe the colors being a colorblind person, but you tell me what you thought about the colors.
Very bright yellow with kind of some baby blue lettering. It was so those are the Boston Marathon colors, you know, and the stencil on the front matches the Boston Marathon lettering. So this is part of what the city series. So they're kind of copying the NBA model. I deferred to our colleague June Lee, who is much younger than us. And he said they're awesome. And he grew up a Red Sox fan. He loved it. I think the kids are going to love it. The younger people are going to love it. Hey, we were talking about it, right? That's kind of half the point. You know, I know we're very loyal to our baseball jerseys, but it's fun. I think they actually look pretty good. Although I'm curious what the Yankees will do when they're told they cannot wear pinstripes at home.
I'm going to be asking Todd Radom later in the week, I think, about these jerseys. He's, you know, being the uniform and graphic artist that he is, his opinion is going to be a lot more valid than mine is. That's for sure. There are two winless teams that made the playoffs last year, teams that are winless so far, the Braves and the Athletics. Are either one of these teams in trouble in your eyes?
Well, yeah, no, certainly Oakland, right? I think you got to agree. The Braves, they've only 8 runs in 4 games. I think they'll be okay. But Oakland, they've been outscored by 37 runs in 6 games. Trevor Rosenthal, their supposed closer now, is going to be out for several months. It's one thing to get off to a slow start, but to just get destroyed game after game. So not a lot of positive signs there in Oakland.
Which current division standings looks the most like it'll be at the end of this year?
Oh, that's a layup. That's like asking me who was the first president. The NL West, we're already lined up. Dodgers are rolling. Padres look good despite the injury. And then we get the other 3 teams. So NL West, it's already signed, sealed, and delivered.
Isn't that amazing? Like, we talked about it. I don't know how you answered the question about, you know, I did a couple of radio segments on the West Coast, and people were asking me, you know, how close are the Padres to catching the Dodgers? And I was like, I think the Padres are the second best team in baseball. This was before the Fernando Tatis Jr. injury. I think the Padres are the second best team in baseball, and I think they're 10, 12 games behind the Dodgers. I don't think they're close.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, and they could win, you know, assuming, again, with Tatis's situation, they could win 98, 100 games and finish 10, 12 games back. And a lot has to go right for the Padres to beat the Dodgers. And there's already some minor issues, right? Tatis, Chris Paddock looks terrible. He struggled at the end of spring training, bad in his first start. Denelson Lamet is still out trying to bounce back from that elbow issue. You know, and yeah, they have depth, you know, but it's being tested, you know, early on. So we'll see how deep the Padres really are.
Yeah, and we know that during the year they will be making additions leading up to the trade deadline. But it almost feels like since they didn't expand the playoff field, that if you're the Padres, maybe the focus this year is, okay, how do we line up our wild card game starter?
Yeah, it's you know, it's, and I, you know, I don't think players like that one game wild card because the Padres could win 100. Oh, and then we face Jacob DeGrom in the wild card game. You know, you could have an unbelievable season, best in franchise history, and 3 hours later, you go home.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates can talk about that, yep. right? Yep. For back-to-back years, they ran into Madison Bumgarner and Jake Arrieta in the wild card game.
Yeah, didn't score a run.
Exactly. All right, Dave, I appreciate it. Always great talking with you.
All right, thanks, Buster.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Jumping into the numbers. This is Hembo Knows on Baseball Tonight.
And Hembo is Paul Ambichetti. He's a researcher at ESPN who is a honcho on the show Get Up. Mike Greenberg says he's not really a honcho. He's just a wild party that they like to keep around. Hembo, how you doing this week?
You know, I'm going to do a lot of partying this weekend. So my wife is actually going to be on the road, Buster, at a bachelorette party. I got like 4 days to myself. I can't tell you how much I'm going to smoke. I can't tell you how much meat I'm going to smoke on my new pellet grill. I know Taylor's a big fan of my Traeger. I'm going to do ribs and brisket and pork and wings. I got a ham. I am going to eat so much meat this weekend by myself and probably not talk to anyone and just watch a bunch of baseball.
And then by the time your wife comes back, you'll have had a heart attack with your cholesterol going through the ceiling. Yes, yes, for sure.
I'll be your ex-husband at that point.
So speaking of heart attacks, I want to ask you as we kick off a conversation about whether or not there is a mush ball in baseball in 2021. Tell me what your reaction was when Pete Alonso took that big swing in the ninth inning of Monday's game between the Phillies and the Mets, because that to me is, I pull out these bits and pieces of anecdotal evidence that, yep, the ball's different. That was one of them. So before we get to the data that you collected, tell me what your reaction was. Oh, so I'm hit that ball.
Yeah. I mean, he got into that ball. And as a Phillies fan, I was getting like these heat flashes as that ball was traveling, as best I could tell, into the upper deck of the 2020 Phillies bullpen, like the worst bullpen of any in the last, you know, 90 years or so. Like they were that kind of bad. And then when the ball settles into the basket of Bryce Harper's glove, like not up the wall, like right at the base of the warning track, I was totally stunned. Like I think off the bat, it had the trajectory, it had the sound, and you could tell by the reaction of players on the field that they all thought it was gone too. It had all the ingredients. It just didn't land over the fence. I was obviously thrilled as a fan of the team, but also stunned that it didn't go over the fence.
And so it was based on that and other balls I've seen hit during the first days of the season, you know, being in Anaheim over the weekend, watching Mike Trout seemingly club a ball and have the ball die in center field. I asked you if you could find some data on whether or not the early indications are baseball may have a mush ball. And look, they've came out, you know, and as much as they could during the wintertime and indicated that the ball would be different. But so far, how much different do you think the ball might be?
I have two pieces of data for you, Buster. The first is this. So StatCast defines a barrel as a batted ball of at least 98 miles per hour with a launch angle of 26 to 30 degrees. In other words, it's the most ideal contact that you can make. Well, through the first week of this season, 59% of those swings have resulted in a home run, accompanied by a batting average of 750. Now, those probably sound like astronomical figures, but both are considerably lower than the averages during opening week in the first six seasons of StatCast tracking. Buster, further, the average fly ball this season so far has traveled 307 feet. That's 15 feet fewer than the average during opening week from the previous four. Wow. So in other words, it's not just your eyes. The results do indicate that the mush ball, at least so far, is in full effect.
Well, and I think you'd agree with me, too. I mean, we've seen first weeks of the season that are just absolutely littered with snow cancellations and postponements and incredibly cold weather. We really haven't had that. It's not like we've had a bunch of games where it's, you know, 30 degrees.
No, and in the one game that did have that, we saw Miguel Cabrera hit an opposite field home run. So we're definitely not skewing it in that way. It's hard to say, like, if a week is enough data to make a sort of snap judgment here. But Buster, 15 feet of fly ball distance, should it hold up for the course of a full season, changes so many things. It totally inflates the value of fly ball pitchers in a way that just did not exist before because of the propensity of the home run ball. And it also changes a lot of the calculus for these sort of fringe home run hitters, guys that don't have big time power, who were sort of able to cheat and hit home runs before because the ball was such. So there's a lot of tentacles to this, and I'm going to be very curious to follow it along with you as we go.
And I want you to send that information to the Sunday Night Baseball people, because I'm going to bring it up. We actually talked between innings, between Matt Biskirchian and Alex Rodriguez and I, about whether or not, like, balls in Anaheim weren't just not traveling as far. Mm. All right, give me a thought on Rougned Odor going to the Yankees.
So, yeah, I would describe the trade as something of a flyer, given how dreadful he's been the last few seasons. But, Buster, I do think it does demonstrate to me that their head is sort of in the right place. And here's what I mean by that. So under Aaron Boone, with him as their manager, the Yankees lineup has had a platoon advantage in only 46% of plate appearances. That ranks 27th in baseball since 2018. So at minimum, Odor should be able to provide some punch against right-handed pitching, even if he never becomes the player he was again in his early 20s. We know Yankees fans are constantly complaining about the lack of left-handed, you know, the quality left-handed bats in their lineup. You've mentioned Anthony Rizzo as a possibility at the trade deadline should the Cubs decide to sell. I don't know if Odor can play or not anymore. I mean, frankly, he's really stunk the last 4 years. He's cost his team more wins than he's generated in three of those 4 years. But the Yankees are recognizing that this is a hole that they have, and maybe he's not the guy to solve it. But again, I think their head's in the right place.
Yeah, especially given the fact that the Rangers are literally picking up every dollar.
Yeah,
correct. Other than the prorated minimum for them to take a shot at him. And you and I have seen many examples in baseball history of players who flourish with their next team. In other words, the first team after where maybe in the Rangers, and I don't, this is total speculation on my part. I don't know what was spoken about with Odor in his preparation and his mechanics. But a lot of times when it's your original organization, you don't want to hear that. You're not as open. And then you go to a new team and you're like, hey, what information do you have for me? It's kind of like when Gerrit Cole went from the Pirates to the Astros.
And Brian Cashman has done a better job than most any GM in baseball of identifying big leaguers for whom he could sort of make that jump on his club. And Odor is a player who at the age of 22 had a season with 300 total bases as a second baseman. No one had ever done that at that young an age. So we know the talent there. Maybe the Yankees can, you know, pull a little bit more value out of that profile.
All right. We can't do a segment with you without mentioning the Phillies multiple times. Tell me about the catcher.
Yeah. So your Sunday night broadcast will spotlight a player who, for my money, Buster, is as valuable to his team as any in baseball. And that's, of course, JT Realmuto. Here are the numbers. So since joining the Phillies, they've won 53% of games that he starts with a plus 49 run differential. In all other games, they've won 36% of those with a minus 70 run differential. So you look at the run scoring impacted by his presence. You look at the run prevention impacted by his presence. There's a whole other batch of numbers that I'll send along to your team. But I think there are very few players that you could credibly argue make as big an impact as Realmuto on both sides of the ball. I'm a fan, of course, but tell me, is that a stretch or not?
No, it's not a stretch. In fact, as you were talking, I immediately came up with an idea for my Sunday column coming up this weekend. And what that is going to be, I had a general manager say to me this weekend how rare it was that you had a player at a particular position be vastly better than the next best guy at his position. And I was thinking, you know what? It'd be fun to go back through baseball history and come up with similar examples. Like when Pedro Martinez was the best starting pitcher by, you know, hundreds of yards.
Yes.
Like at times.
Well, that sounds like a fun little research project for me, huh?
That's what I was just going to ask you about. But, you know, I'll send you. So, but I've laid it out for you now, so I don't have to send you the email. Before you go, this, speaking of Pete Alonso, this is what we saw yesterday in the Mets game.
And Didi hits a rocket down to first. Great play by Alonso from a knee. Stroman
and they get the out. Alonso took a double away from Gregorius to keep the Mets in the lead. Another terrific play by Pete Alonso.
He lunges to his left, that call by Gary Cohen on SNY. I remember, I think it was in spring of 2020, you know, Pete mentioned that he wanted to win a gold glove. And when he first said that, I was like, yeah, okay, that's nice. You know, I certainly had I'd done an E60 on him. I knew that he'd gotten a lot better. But I tell you what, I don't think it's quite so crazy. I still think of Anthony Rizzo as being the best first baseman in the American League or National League. So it's a high bar. But boy, Pete Alonso gets better and better.
Oh, yeah. When he said that last year, I thought to myself, yeah, I want to be an astronaut. But in all seriousness, we've talked so much about how much the Mets would benefit from the added designated hitter in the National League because of their preponderance. They have so many great hitters and not enough spots to put them in. We never even consider the fact that Pete Alonso doesn't matter anymore because he plays first base so well that he's stuck there. Not only is he stuck there, you feel good when the ball is hit to him in a way that you would never have a year or two ago. We're talking about Don Smith and others now potentially DHing for the Mets in American League play. Pete Alonso is no longer in that conversation, and it happened really fast, Buster. I would liken, you know, this jump that he makes to, like, you know, the say a commitment from an NBA star to becoming a great defender. Like, a lot of it's effort, and Pete Alonso, clearly, we already know the bat profiles in a big time way. We know the effort is there now too. He wants to be a great defender, and sometimes it's as easy as putting it in. I'm with you. I'm not going to bet on him ever, you know, being a Gold Glove winner. Just like I'm not going to ever bet on myself becoming an astronaut. But it wouldn't stun me if he won one someday.
Yeah. Well, when they did the makeover with him at first base, when he was in the minor leagues, Tim Tuffle met with him and Pete Alonso said, you know what? I want to become Paul Goldschmidt. He compared himself to a really good right-handed first baseman. I think he's there. He's done a great job. All right. Hembo, I appreciate it. And we'll be in touch.
Later, boys.
Get out of here, Hembo. Sick of Hembo.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Wednesday. First up, we have Michael Preston at McP1979. He writes, and after the commanding performance tonight compared to the opener, do you think the Yankees will go back to Higgy as Cole's personal catcher going forward? There just doesn't seem to be enough confidence with Sanchez behind the plate.
I remember when this issue popped up with Clayton Kershaw, when the Dodgers took AJ Ellis out from behind home plate for Kershaw's starts. And I asked a general manager with another team how he felt about that. He said, look, if Clayton's uncle made Clayton feel better, that's who I would catch. You know, if you got Gerrit Cole and you're paying him $35 million a year and he feels better with Higgy behind the plate over Sanchez, that's who you go with. You can tell the number five starter, look, you got Gary Sanchez. When it comes to Gerrit Cole, you do what you can to make your star happy. What do you think, Taylor?
Completely agree. I don't even know why they're messing around with it. Just sorry, Gary. It's no hard feelings, man.
Right. It's not personal.
No.
It's professional. It's business.
Oh, one of my favorite sayings. That's business for you. That's business.
Yep.
Next up, Eric Johnson at ET Johnson 1 writes, and Buster, has there ever been in the history of baseball a week where one team raises their World Series banner at home and then the next road trip watches another team raise theirs? I'm guessing not. 2021. What a world.
Eric, you nailed it. You answered your own question. Yep. You're 100% right.
Interesting observation there, Eric. Next up, we have Mitchell at Tigers of Detroit. He writes in, how about some love for Badu? Rule 5 guy. First at bat was a home run. Second game, grand slam. Third game, walk-off single.
Mitchell, how'd we do today? You know, we talked about him. We got a highlight in there. So we have jumped on the bandwagon.
The legend grows. And last one for today, Brian Roll at Brian Baseball 5 writes in, I've been noticing a lot of pitchers wearing a ring on their glove hand. I'm surprised that's legal. Seems like it would help in rubbing up the ball. It's not always on the ring finger, so not a wedding ring. Do you know what that's for?
Very interesting. I did not notice that. And of course, we're all kind of wondering how pitchers are going to get away, work under the supposed emphasis on the foreign substance rules. I'm going to be watching for that in the games I see starting today.
Brian with a keen eye. He asked twice, so he's noticed it a couple times, I'm guessing.
Awesome.
That is it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Thank you for writing, everyone. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
My thanks today to Dave, Hembo, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something that we should fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.